This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
It feels so much better to know that the button is clicked and to see it respond. I mean, I don't know why that becomes such a bad habit for me last
this
week.
This is last the month. Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Oh, it is? Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama, how we doing today on this hump day? Happy hump day. It is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You're checking us out on the Bama Central YouTube channel, listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. We appreciate everybody who subscribed, rated, reviewed the show on their favorite podcast platforms. We're live in the Dairy Daniel State Farm Studios, just off of McFarland Boulevard. Gonna have a lot of fun today with Mason Woods. We encourage you to check out Derek Daniel and his team right here off of McFarland Boulevard. You can find them just past the Tiger Rock on the left. Call Derek and his team, Red Reese and Victoria, about all your insurance needs. You can talk about homeowners, life insurance, boat insurance, car insurance, really anything in the insurance world, they'll get you taken care of. Call them at 205-758-3391. We are here in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios. You can call us. Oh, my gosh. Actually, shoot, I need to set that up. I did get a voicemail, so I'll throw it to Mason and set the voicemail that we did get. You can call us on the voicemail machine at 205-462-7340, extension 800. I know my man Dax has sent us in a voicemail, so we want to absolutely get him on. Dax is from Jasper. He told me as he was listening about the New Era Wrestling. So he's going to be working this Saturday. We're trying to get him off to get into Bad Moon Rising, but going to be working. We will get him up involved up there in Jasper. Today, later on in the show, we will be hearing from the Alpha, Alexander Lincoln. You've heard him, what, three or four weeks ago, roughly, and he was setting up the Crimson Clash. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he did it. He took down Rhino at the Crimson Clash, and Corey, I couldn't catch the other fellow's name. We'll have to ask him. He was a yellow belly coward, so that's why I didn't remember his name.
Very forgettable.
Yeah.
Compared to the Alpha, I mean.
Oh, exactly. And so the Alpha is now champion. We'll find out what the plans are for Bad Moon Rising here at about 8:45 or so. So with that. You follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. Mason Woods, how we doing today? Let me set up this voicemail from Dak. So let me import this voicemail from Dak here.
I'm doing good today. You know, relatively slow day with some recruiting news yesterday. Reached out to a few people. Didn't get any responses yesterday like I was looking for. We, earlier in the week, got to talk to 2026 quarterback Anthony Kolner. Hopefully we'll get to talk to him later in the summer when he gets back to campus. But, you know, we are still reaching out to some folks. We're getting some stories. We're trying to get some information about these prospects. I still think, you know, as I have said for weeks now, Alabama is in a perfectly fine spot with this recruiting class currently. They are in an even better spot than they were now that they have Jordan Edmonds in the class, one of the best corners in the nation. I think he will continue to indicate to other top-tier players that, okay, you know, it's cool to still go to Alabama. We're fine. Everything's okay. I would not hit the panic button at all yet for Alabama, even though I think they're ranked like, you know, 28th or something in the nation, 30th in the nation right now. So I think it's okay.
All right. So what time, how much longer do we give it? Obviously I'm with you. I'm backing you up on the pump on the don't jump off a bridge yet. Everything's fine. Everything's going according to plan. At what point do you allow the fan base? At what point do you allow the pundits? What point do you say the analysts are okay to say, okay, we can be concerned? When does concern become a legitimate factor in recruiting?
I think if you go through this whole summer without adding anybody, that would be a little bit of a concern. You know,
that'd be nuts.
Yeah, that would be a point of concern. Obviously, you know, there's still time, even after the end of the summer. There's still a lot of time before final decisions are made. So, like, I still would be in the camp of, like, hey, guys, we still got, you know, several months of this left. It's okay. But that would probably be the first, the point where I started to look around and think.
So like, July 4, should I see a recruit, a couple more commits by July 4?
I would think so. I would expect to see a few more. I know there's some, I think there's at least one or two guys that are expecting to make their announcements in June. So
we need you to, I'm going to say rip off, but I don't want to say rip off because that's not what I want you to do. I want you to be inspired by our friend and really, really great journalist for the, you know, the Alabama football world, Rod Yore, Tider Insider in July. He does Firecracker 5. These five guys are who you should watch going down the stretch towards December. So obviously that's his idea. Well, we can spin it off some way, like Sparkler 7, you know, like Snakes and Sparkler 7. I always think about Joe Dirt when I think about fireworks.
Joe Dirt, hey, French.
All I have is Snakes and Sparklers.
I haven't seen that movie in so long, man.
What a movie.
Great.
He goes, you ain't got cinema. Any, you ain't got any, what is it, cherry bombs and atom bombs and Billy Bomb, like whatever. He's throwing out a bunch of, so I have his Snakes and Sparklers. He's like, why don't you have the other stuff? Because it's dangerous. So Mason's going to have his Snakes and Sparklers 7 in July to celebrate 4th of July. Why don't we let the voicemail line set the stage for the day? We are going to talk about Corey Chess just a little bit. We're going to talk about Yaxel Lindeborg.
Yaxel Lindeborg, I believe. Lendeborg.
Lindbergh chocolate, like that's what.
Yeah, sure.
All right, perfect. So we're gonna talk about those two guys, but let's let the voicemail line lead us.
What's up, guys? It's Dax again. Bucknell transfer, freaking, let's go. We got a 7-footer. I'm excited for next season already.
We're gonna do this the way we did it with Roy from Lake Gunnersville yesterday. We'll just pause it piece by piece so that we can react. Yeah, Bucknell transfer, Noah Williams.
I thought our friend Dax had given us a bit of profanity there for a second. It hit my ear, that, you know, that hard first syllable on Bucknell.
What was it?
What's up, guys? It's Dax again. Bucknell transfer.
Bucknell.
That really hit your ear hard if you weren't ready for it.
Bucknell. Bucknell.
I like it. Did
we talk about him yesterday?
Barely. I think we did. Not a whole lot, though. I'm just as excited as our friend Dax here. I think I have longed for getting a European 7-footer on this basketball team for years, and we finally have one. I know his name is Noah Williamson, but he is from Latvia. He is a European basketball player. He grew up there, so he has that, you know, that Euro style kind of in his background that I think would be beneficial to Alabama.
Well, Dirk Nowitzki, 7-footer. The dude's got a decent shot at, what, 30% from three. My biggest concern, Mason, is the Horizon League going into the SEC. It didn't really take Grant that long, but Grant still, in the first year that he was here, was a little thin. Sure. Not getting pushed around like egregiously, but was a little thin. Could have used another 5-10% muscle. Now I think he improved in that area in his second year. But this young man, Noah Williamson, is coming in. He will only have 1 year. From what I remember, I'm not looking at my notes right now, but I think he's a junior, so he's gonna have the 1 year. So if the strength issue is an issue, then that's my only that's my major concern. That's my concern. Are you going to be
okay? So I've got it. I'm looking at his game log here. 12 points, 8 boards against Syracuse. I understand Syracuse was not the Syracuse still. We all know them to be, but that's still good competition. You know, he went 16, 2 boards against Gonzaga. 2 boards is not great, but he had 7 points, 9 boards against Maryland. He had 7-5 against Kentucky. So, I mean, I don't think he performed bad against good competition this year. You know, there's a drop-off from his Horizon League numbers where he was going, you know, 20-10 against Colgate, 17-10 against Lehigh. But I still think, you know, he showed some flashes and, you know, get him in a – place where it looks like I got dropped out of the stream.
It's okay. I still hear you.
Get him in a place where he is forced to kind of get comfortable with it, and I think he will probably do okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for him. Just the measurables are to die for.
Exactly.
The measure and the what 2.5 minute clip that I retweeted out from someone else that I cannot, I should have remembered who it was, but I retweeted out. Like, it was all, you know, cutesy 3-point shot. Oh, drop step dunk. Great. I didn't see any defense. Now, you know, ask any highlight person to make a defensive highlight. And it's like, no, I'm not going to make you a 20-second video of three blocks. No, thank you.
I mean, he was all defensive in the Horizon League, right? Last year, all defensive team, I believe I saw.
Oh, let's find out.
Or maybe or first team defense Horizon or something like that. And, you know, you mentioned that, like, that little highlight package that we, you know, a lot of people saw. Like, you saw, I think, in that, a lot of the, like, the quick twitch athleticism that we lacked with Cliff this year that we were talking about yesterday, I think, on the show. I think he has a bit of that. He is able to move, you know, at 7 feet tall, he's able to move like a 6'5 guard, kind of. He's able to move a lot quicker. It's not his lumbering movement. Did you compare him to like an Aiden Terrell who actually is comfortable in his own body?
Yeah,
that's like a pretty good way to put it.
I think he looks like Aiden Terrell and Grant Nelson had a baby.
Yeah, he is. I think he, you know, Cliff, I think never is going to get there with the athleticism like we wanted, obviously, because he was in his final year of college basketball and he hadn't gotten there yet. Sherrell, I think, was more of an example of just being young and still not being quite used to how big he is. Give him a year to get more used to his body, get more used to playing in this system where he has to be kind of quick twitch and fast, and I think he will be very, very good this year, paired alongside Noah Williamson. I mean, you got the Twin Towers down there now.
No, I think we made this up about Noah Williamson's Horizon League honors. Oh. I'm looking here, March 3rd, 2025, Horizon League reveals honors, and Alvaro Figueras, the Robert Morris fella, player of the year. Okay, Robert Morris, coach of the year, newcomer of the year, Milwaukee, all-league of the year. Okay. Yeah, so we made this up.
Williamson made the all-defensive team in the Patriot League. That is our issue here. They all run together.
They're all tiny. Where's this Joker from? Bucknell?
Yes.
Bucknell is in the Patriot League, not the Horizon League. Oh my gosh, Joe. That's what Google is hard. Patriot League basketball honors. We'll find out. Maybe he was good.
Okay, so he was Patriot League Player of the Year.
Okay, yes. I was like looking at that. Figueras.
I had seen that.
I was like, Figueras? Yeah. That's not right.
Patriot League Player of the Year honors. He helped the Bison win a share of the regular season crown and the number one seed in the upcoming Patriot League championship, which they did not win.
They choked.
Yeah, they lost, I think, in the semifinals and didn't go to the tournament, but that's okay.
Choke artist. Noah, we ain't doing that. When you come to Tuscaloosa, that's not the way we play things.
Looks like he is also, all defensive. Wilson made both all defensive team in the Patriot League as well as conference player of the year honors.
Great job, Noah.
Good on him. Still, though, concerned how that will transfer.
Definitely.
Translate.
Not like I wasn't excited to begin with, but now I'm just like, 7-footer, let's go. Also, if any Alabama fan for reason is still sad about getting, you know, our teeth kicked in by Duke, just remember last year, Auburn went out in the first round and had to watch us go all the way to the Final Four. So, any Alabama fan that feels bad about going out in the Elite Eight and Auburn in the Final Four, screw it. It's fine. Get over it. All right. Roll Tide. It's time for football, all right? We've got we had 2 weeks of freaking spring practice left. We've got one scrimmage, but then it's on to summertime. But the intel that we're getting from spring practice, oh, buddy. Oh, dude, I cannot wait.
Don't fall for it, Dad.
Holy crap. Anyway, hope y'all have a good one. See y'all later. Roll Tide.
Road Tide. That's Dax calling in on the voicemail line. You can call in the voicemail line 205-462-7340, extension 800. We'd be happy to play your call piece by piece by piece. We just talked about Noah Williamson. Why don't we chat about spring football? Because that's where Dax wanted to set us up. We do only have less than 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. Next Saturday is A-Day. Here's the first question I want to give you. Do you think the changes that they announced will affect A-Day attendance?
No. Not at all. If anything, I think there might be more people because they're curious on what this format looks like.
And no TV. No SEC yeah. Network Plus, ESPN Plus. If you got the Plus package, sorry, you are still SOL. You got to come to Bryant-Denny Stadium to see. That's the part that I think is the best change that they made.
There's no need for this to be on TV.
No.
It's such a waste of everybody's time. It's a waste of those camera operators' time. It's a waste of anybody who is there, commentating it or anything's time. It's a waste of the network's time.
Just play your SEC storied for 3 hours like you would for on your Saturday. Yeah. Actually, Saturday, your camera crews are at a baseball game or at a softball game. Play the real sports that are actually competing for
sure.
something significant right now.
Yeah, that are competing. There's not even a game now.
Make sure Alabama and Oklahoma is on your TV. Please, that weekend, next weekend. Dax is right. We've only got about a week and a half of left of spring practice. We're going to be going over to the Mount Moore Athletic Facility here in just a little bit of time. Myself, Will Miller, and Katie Windham. By the way, Katie Windham going to be joining us tomorrow on the program to talk about every place. She's been all over the place. She's been to all the NCAA tournament games. She was at softball last night, and she's all over everything. We'll talk to her tomorrow. We'll talk to Caitlin DeBoer today. We may not be. I think it's players. Let me find our little flag right there. Contact. Oh, shoot. I meant to respond to that email, and I did not. April 2nd. We're talking to players.
Claim it was April Fool's Eve. That's why I didn't respond.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you respond today. You say, hey,
So we'll talk to players today. It'll be select players. It'll be leadership. We won't know until we get there.
What do you think it's going to be? I think you get.
We already talked to Ryan.
Quarterback?
No, we won't get any quarterbacks this spring.
Maybe a Jam Miller.
Damani Jackson, we haven't had him this spring.
Damani would be good.
Have we had Bray this spring? Let me look at our YouTube and see and find out because that's a process of elimination. Because if they've already brought him up, there's a high chance they're not getting brought back. Let's see.
I feel like I do remember seeing videos of Bray, but it may have been at like a scrum thing.
Yeah, so our last videos for football were all about we had Ryan Williams, right? Ryan and I don't know who we're not talk to today. It doesn't even matter because what's the question? What's the question when you don't see anything? Hey, how's it going out there? What's the vibe in practice? Everybody working hard?
I guess they do this strategically, so you can't formulate any good questions heading in.
Yes, because so that I can ask player X, how's your teammate doing? My teammate's doing great. He's got great chemistry. We're really working hard. I'm excited to see how my teammate's grown this spring. Oh, great. What about your other teammate? My other teammate's doing awesome. Maybe I'm just not good at this because I don't have it, because I think that I know exactly what this team is. I think this team is really talented on defense. Is it more talented than Ohio State and Texas? No. I think this team is going to look more efficient offensively. But I think that they will be likely less explosive. Likely less explosive. So a little more patience. I think that maybe Alabama fans will be happier watching this year's team because it might resemble elements of the 90s, elements of the early 2000s, elements of the early Saban days where the quarterback is more distributing. Just
quarterback's not the star here.
Right. And I don't think, I do think Ty's going to be a good player. I think Ty has won the job. That's probably the other reason why I'm not very good at this, because everybody else and their mother is selling you guys quarterback competition, but I refuse to sell you guys hooey. I don't believe that I believe that the quarterback competition is in name only. I think you're going to end up being. You're going to end up getting back to the playoffs. You're not going to lose one of these dumb games. You might lose to an elite team, but I don't think you're going to lose to any of these dumb teams. You're not going to be losing on the road to Vanderbilt. Alabama 2025 football schedule. You are going to be, if you're going to lose at all, Which, you know, not that we're not losing. You're losing on the road. Yes, on the road at Georgia. Like, come on, we're not. That's fine. You're beating Vanderbilt at home.
At South Carolina.
That's going to be fun.
It's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, that'll be fun for sure. And then Auburn. Auburn will be tough.
Auburn might be tough.
Auburn on the road is tough. South Carolina on the road is tough. Missouri on the road, kind of tough, but I, you know, no quarterback situation over there. Their quarterback situation is not good.
You got Bo Prabula. You know, he's going to be great.
Prabula. I saw Drew Pine transfer. Hunter hollered across the hallway the other day. Oh, Missouri's quarterback transferred. I said, who? Drew Pine. I said, "That's who cares? They didn't lose anything."
Seeing Eastern Illinois on this schedule is a bit interesting. I'm not sure I've ever seen that team on the Alabama schedule.
Does it scare you?
Are terrified.
Are you afraid?
Horrified.
So am I just bad at this because I think I know because I think I know what this team is? Or do I need to how do I need to put a mirror up and question myself? What questions do I need to ask myself to, like, you know how, you know, scientists they always go in with a theory, but then they, you know, try to poke holes in their theories.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, especially with, as many of you know, my opinion on Ty Simpson, go against that, where I think the offense is going to be less explosive. I think it's going to be a lot more slow, a lot more patient, and I think the defense will probably be the star of the show here. That being said, you do still have a Ryan Williams on the field. You do still have a German Bernard. You do still have an Isaiah Horton. So maybe those three guys can elevate the offense, continue to elevate the offense, and make it reach that kind of explosive level that I am hoping for.
How average was the wide receiver room outside of the top two last year?
Well, I mean, there's a pretty good reason not many of them are here anymore.
And not to be disrespectful, but just being analytical on...
I mean, it was similar.
Kobe Prentice and Kendrick Law and Caleb Odom. And Caleb might turn out to be a great player. And Kendrick Law might turn out to be a baller for Kentucky. Where did Kobe Prentice go? Wherever he ended up, I'm sure he might end up being a baller too. But he got a Baylor?
Yeah, Baylor.
But when you're talking about the SEC and you're thinking about a three-man crew of wide receivers, it was... one of these things is not like the other. Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard looked like NFL, like future NFL players, and you're having questions. I mean,
it was that meme of all the soldiers with the one guy in the clown costume. You know, it was that. And I hate to do that to Kobe Prentice and Kendrick Law and Caleb Odom and any of the other guys that stepped into that third role. But
I mean, look at Ohio State's wide receiver core last year. Look at their receiving corps for the last 5 years. It's been five deep of just, star, NFL star, future star, first rounder, this. Emeka Ogbuka, he's going to be a late first, early second rounder.
Please, early second rounder.
Dude.
Please be a Tennessee Titan because they're going to draft Cam Ward. It's just happening now.
You better hope they do, because you know what happened on my mock draft last night for my Chicago Bears, our podcast that we did. We're scrolling through and we're like, you know, first round's over. What's happening in the second round? And as I click to like go to the second round and it goes boom, Billy to this team, Charlie to that team. You know what it did in the second round for the Tennessee Titans?
Oh, no.
Jalen Milroe. No. Yeah. Yeah, buddy. Starter.
Man,
we passed on Cam Ward in the first round, and we took Abdul Carter like you should, and then second round you came back and you said, "Hey Mason, four more years of we just got 1-0 today."
That would be the exact like inverse of the Will Levis draft when we escaped the first round, and it was like, "Thank God we didn't draft Will Levis," only to pick him up on like immediately on day two, basically within the first four or five picks of the day. This would be a beautiful first round getting Abdul Carter. Yeah.
Pain.
I don't think that's going to happen. I do believe they will be drafting Cam Ward with the first overall pick, which I'm not stoked on, but
the alternative, Cam Ward or Jalen Milroe, pick one.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take Cam Ward 10 times out of 10 times. And then, if you go in the second round, you get Emeka Ogbuka, I feel a lot better about it.
Dude, yeah, we're rolling right there, Titans. Tighten up. Tighten up.
We'll see. You know, the last time you drafted a receiver.
Treylon Burks.
Yep. Yeah. One touchdown.
I thought Treylon was going to be a good NFL player.
I really did, too.
He was not.
Has not been. Is not.
He was a good player at Arkansas.
Very good player at Arkansas. He torched Alabama.
Mm. That game was so weak. Alabama was up like 21-0, 24-0. And it was like a slowly Arkansas came back. And we're all sitting in the press box like, is this about to happen? It didn't. But like what? Landon Jackson, 5-7 sacks or something like that. Landon Jackson is going to get drafted in 3 weeks off of that game. And it might be a Chicago Bear because of that game.
All I can ever see when I see, do you remember the clip of him when he was a prospect running through like bags, slapping them? That's all I can ever think of when I see Landon Jackson, because he was so tall and skinny and just, he's also, I think he's albino because he has like pale skin, bleach blonde hair, like very, very pale. Just a strange looking man, and he looked very goofy running through those drills, but he turned into a pretty good player.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be mad when the Titans draft Cam Ward. I'm not going to be happy about that.
Even if it means you avoided drafting Jalen Milroe?
Yeah, probably, because you could just, like, do neither of those things.
Draft Abdul Carter and then Emeka Buka.
It's not one or the other, you know? It's
who is the quarterback right now? It's still Will Levis, right? He's still on the roster.
Yeah, he is still there. They just signed some terrible backup because they let Mason Rudolph walk.
Chad Henne.
Who was it? It's Brandon Allen. That's who it was.
Great. The old Jets backup. Terrible.
I think they're looking to offload Will Levis sooner than later, but we will see.
For what?
Yeah, I don't know. Here's a box of tissues, buddy. Like, I don't. But for sports are a weird thing, you know. If I could just go back and tell my 5-6-year-old self, hey, buddy. See, I know those colors are cool, but like.
Patriots, Joe. Patriots.
Yeah.
Patriots.
You'll be a Ravens fan or something. Chiefs or somebody. You
know? Ravens would have been cooler. Yeah, Ravens.
Which I think I saw a stat the other day that the Ravens have like the winningest record in the NFL without a Super Bowl win in the last 15 years or something like that, which is crazy. Sucks for them.
Yeah, but they've been so elite like since their inception. It's been like, we're top. Well, they've now, won a couple. Yeah,
but now.
Yeah.
With this team.
Right, they've won two, right? Two or three.
What, they won 2000-something, 2008.
Ray Lewis year and then Joe Flacco year, right?
Yeah. They won with Dilfer.
Yeah, Dilfer and then Joe Flacco. Yeah, Dilfer and Flacco was the second.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because Flacco and Ray Lewis won.
Yeah.
Crazy that they've won with those two quarterbacks.
Joe, 6-year-old Joe, Baltimore Ravens. Black only. And purple, black. You get that. All my clothes could be black and purple instead of navy blue and orange. And every single time I wear that Bear sweatshirt in this city, I get somebody going, "War Eagle," and I'm like, "Not the same logo, but okay."
You could wear the cool purple camo pants that the fans wear, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, I could be all on Marlon Humphrey, be like Marlon Humphrey's buddy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's okay though.
So I don't have anything to ask these football players today because it's just like, how is it going up against this player? Well, sure. That player is really hard to go up against, and they're tough. They're tough.
Thank you.
But like at the same time, you're gonna see people, not today because we're not at practice. Anytime you're at these practices, you see my colleagues just blah, 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 blah. So-and-so looked so good today in the 30 and a half minutes that we saw.
We heard it from Dax on our voicemail. He has unfortunately been fooled by a lot of this stuff.
These people
putting this information out that's really useless.
Well, you put it out the other day. You told me. You told us that the quarterback you interviewed told us, he said, she said, we said.
This is true.
That Ty Simpson had a great day at that scrimmage.
Yeah.
So are we the purveyors of fake news? No, we're not.
Might be. Just a little bit.
Ty Simpson to Isaiah Horton was apparently the hookup. And that's what triggered me on the Kobe Apprentice Kendrick Law train. Sorry, guys. It was not personal. But I do think that – I do wonder if you're going to be able to put out a unit of three, a group of three that
are all respected.
Right. Equally terrifies the secondary.
Yeah. I really like – I'm very excited to see what Isaiah Horton can do this year. I think just, we see that Kalen DeBoer very obviously loves that style of receiver, getting the one big body type guy to be a main piece of the trio. And I'm interested.
What do you think Kalen's going to do one day when I just hijack a press conference, just asking about Roma Dunze? Just.
It'd be good.
Kalen would bite on it, but all of my colleagues would want to fight me. And they'd be like, why are you asking? Oh, just for my own.
I'm just curious.
It beats whatever else we're asking.
He'd probably give you more insightful information on that than he would anything else.
Yes,
he would. Because he's not going to give up anything Alabama related. It's just going to be, well, guys had a great day. I'm really excited about what they did. You know, I think Ty's a great quarterback. But, you know, Austin Mack, too, he's also a stud. And then you got to look at Keelon Russell. You know, he's just a natural gifted athlete. So it's just,
I need to ask him about Roma Dunze. And then when they say, what's this about? I'm just going to use the soundbite on my podcast. I'm a Bears show. I'm a Bears podcast, coach. We just need a clip for my Bears show.
You got to introduce yourself as like Joe Gaither from
Joe Gaither, Believe in Monsters podcast. Believe in Monsters podcast. Coach, what do you see in Roma Dunze? How is he going to grow in his second year?
That would be good. Or you show up to a press conference after a game just dressed as a, you know, all decked out. You know, you've got, and you're just pretending to be a full just Chicago media member. And you just, yeah, traveled all the way here to ask you about Roma Dunze, coach.
Right after a post game.
I'm writing a feature on Roma Dunze.
right after the first game of the year, after Alabama played.
Right after they lose to Georgia in Athens.
I would get shot.
You wouldn't make it out of the room.
Oh, which media member would shoot me first?
Ooh.
What's the name that came to your head that you didn't want to say?
Casa Grande.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't even know if it'd be that. I think he'd just turn around and just slap you with 1,000 pounds of force.
Yes. What is this? What is this?
Get out of here.
Coach, Roma Dunze going into his second year, Bears getting rid of Keenan Allen. You think we're gonna see him step into a bigger role this year?
Okay. He wouldn't know what to say. How's Roma Dunze going to look on my fantasy team this year?
He wouldn't know.
I drafted him last year, took him really high. He did not produce. Do I keep him?
He wouldn't know what to say.
We got to do this to other schools. We got to travel around the SEC and get into press conferences and ask stupid questions.
Well, maybe this is the SEC Media Day strategy, because like you go to SEC Media and it's great time, but then you end up around these scrums. And like when I'm there, I'm there for the Alabama guys. Last year, Missouri, we were a little Missouri, which is great. And I'm a little Mississippi State, which is great. But I'm going up to every person, every coach, or every player. And like all my questions are, tell me about the time you played against Alabama. Like they're not related to him.
No,
they're not related. Like we interviewed Tennessee fellas and it was, oh, third Saturday in October. Oh, the last time y'all beat Alabama was at home. You're playing them at home again. Are you excited? So maybe this is what we do. We just go into these random scrums and just try to think about, you know, oh, Tennessee fella, what do you think about Albert Means? About, who's that? I'm like, oh, you know, some fella that Tennessee and Alabama paid, you know. What do you think Albert Means would say about NIL and try to get him rolling on that?
This would be good. These would be good things. We could do the Nardwar thing and find very hyper obscure information about these players and, you know, bring it back up to them. Oh, when you were in the fourth grade or you were taught by this, what? Tell me about that. You ever see those interviews? Those are great. I love those. He'll interview various rappers and artists and things, and we'll just pull the most. I don't know who his research team is, but they will get hyper obscure information.
Well, maybe I need to get a good research
team. How do you know that? You know, it's good times.
Maybe I need to get a good research team.
Yeah, there we go.
Mason Woods, let's move just a little bit. Before we do, let's tell everybody I am very, very, very excited to continue our relationship with Warren Tire and Auto. They're the Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple for all your automotive needs. They've been here since 1961. Didn't we say like 16 national championships they've seen? Something wild. They've been here since 1961. They're in their third generation of family ownership. Warren Tire is the go-to place for all your automotive needs. They've got two great locations to serve you. You can find them on 15th Street for tires, brakes, and alignment needs right across the street from the stadium. Call them at 205-758-5505. They're right there next to Central, across the street from the stadium right there. or on University Boulevard, right by the hospital, by Nukes, right there by the Arby's. We all had our Arby's yesterday. You can meet them right there at University Boulevard for any other needs, like oil change issues, like engine issues, transmission problems. You can find them on University Boulevard and call them today right there at 205-758-2739. If you've got students who are in town, you're listening to us from out of town, Warren Tire is the go-to place to send your students' vehicles. That is the place to send your vehicles to make sure your student gets home safely. We appreciate Warren Tire and Auto for sponsoring the program, and we encourage you to visit them for all of your automotive needs.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Mason, how do you feel about a 6'8" forward from LSU who had 18 rebounds against the Crimson Tide transferring into Nate Oates' program?
That's 18 rebounds is awfully impressive. I'd like to know what maybe the rest of the season looked like stacked up beside it. 6'8", though. I don't... 6'8", I mean, look, 6'8" is still very tall human. Don't get me wrong. But I am not sure that that is exactly tall enough, long enough to get me like overly excited. You know, I'm looking for maybe a 6'10" and up.
Corey Chess from the Louisiana State University Tigers just finished his freshman year. He's 6'8", 210 pounds from New Orleans, Louisiana. He averaged 6.1 points, 6.6 rebounds per game last year for the Tigers. So you ask about his rebounding numbers other than that Alabama game. Let's just look at SEC numbers only here. Ba-da-da-da-da. Vanderbilt from there. Which column is rebounds? Rebounds is that column. I love these graphs. Total rebounds right there. All right. In SEC play, 5, 2, 1, 6, 3, 18 against the Crimson Tide, 7, 6 against Texas, 3 against Georgia, 12 against Ole Miss. Okay, we like that. 5 against Arkansas, 2 against South Carolina, 1 against Florida, and none in the regular season finale against the Tennessee Vols. Better or worse with those numbers, Mason? What, how you feel, better or worse?
I feel worse. I think this is more of an indication that Alabama was pretty dang soft than that Corey Chest is an overly good rebounder.
Okay. I don't know if I love this as much.
I'm not. He does not overly, you know, I'm sure he's a good player. He was 60% from the field last year. I think I see here. Yeah, 60%
Nate,
from the field.
Nate, but don't do this. Do not do this.
We don't need
look this. At this number here. Do not do this. Oh, of 68. Are you looking at, was that what just popped to you too as soon as I said that?
Oh, I'm looking at,
or are you looking at a different number?
I think I'm looking at a different number.
Oh, of 68 from behind the 3-point line last year.
Okay, yeah, no.
None.
No.
Yeah. No three. And look, we don't need to have three. Like, it's fine. You're 6'8" and you don't stretch the floor.
Yeah.
I'm going to be out on that.
I'm going to pass on you, Corey Chest. I wish you the best. I hope that you find your success elsewhere. I'm honestly, you know, I'm a little concerned. New Orleans native transferring out of Louisiana. That's strange.
Yeah.
Trouble over there.
Well, I would not want to stay in that program anyways. No, that program.
That's a pretty good point. They were in a bad way this week, in a bad way this year.
Mason, what are we going to do in the portal? You got to get Ryland. You have to get Ryland.
Yeah.
Come on. Can I bring you onto the Ryland train? How do I get you onto the Ryland train? What do I need to do?
I need a formal apology from Ryland Griffin that says, I'm sorry, Alabama. I'm not better than you. You need me. I need you more than you need me.
But we do need him.
Do we?
Length and defense.
We just made it to the Elite Eight. Where was he?
Well, he was.
He got bounced out of the first round.
Well, that's Bill Self and Hunter Dickinson's fault. Hunter Dickinson throwing the game. Hunter Dickinson.
I'm just saying, I think Alabama did pretty okay without him.
Wouldn't you have liked to have had a 6'8" wing?
Was going to average 4 points a game.
He wouldn't have done that here.
He did it, though. I mean, All we can go by is what he did this season, which was bad.
Okay, but we're sitting here crying about a Duke game where your length it was
Ryland Griffin problem. Is not changing the outcome of that game whatsoever.
Ryland Griffin gets to the rim a little better than Mark Sears. Come on.
Maybe twice. You maybe have six more points. You maybe lose by 14 instead of 20.
If he yams it on Malawash's head, what happens
to... He doesn't, though. He goes in there and he gets smashed. Malawash would eat him.
I want him back badly.
More power to you.
Well, okay, what are you getting instead?
This is a fair point. That is the most valid point of this. I don't know that I love that being the reason you're taking a transfer, though, because, well, there ain't nothing else out there.
You've already got your three freshmen. You've brought one transfer in. Mm. You've got three more spots to go, roughly. Depends
Yaxel.
On...
Yaxel!
What do you know about this fella?
He's awesome.
Yaxel Lindenborg. Lindenborg chocolate.
Let me pull up this stat line.
Hey, really man, quick. I love me some chocolate.
Yaxel, my
UAB
friend.
Brand, UAB guy. He's a big old boy, right? He's 6'9"?
6'9", yeah. 6'9", 240, averaged 17 points, 11.4 rebounds on over 50% shooting from the field.
So he's a post. He's not a wing. Those rebounding numbers say post to me. I don't know. I'm not sitting here watching the Blazers. Is Andy Kennedy still coaching them?
He was 34% from three last year.
Okay. Is Andy Kennedy still there? He's got to be. Yeah, we would have heard of that. Andy Kennedy. He has to be.
Average four assists.
Yeah, he is. Okay. So
almost two blocks.
So Yaxel becomes the young blood replacement. He's
36% from 3-point last year. So not bad. Would still like to see somebody close to that 40 range, but better than 30 or zero or whatever Ryland Griffin did.
Well, Mason, you got to bring back somebody. You got to bring somebody in.
I'll take Yaxel in the board.
Yaxel and Ryland? Can we get them both, tandem?
I'll just take the one.
Okay.
Take Yaxel. Yeah, I'd probably take Sam Walter. No, I'm just kidding.
That's what you do. You get Sam, you get Davin, you get Nick Pringle, you get Ryland, you bring the gang back together.
I'd take Nick Pringle just for the attitude. You know, I liked his personality.
I'm seeing that online, and I'm sure that it's just a joke. Let me tell you, there is no
room for him.
No. You do not want this group back together. The entire group back together. The group was a 111th in defense last year.
Allergic to defending.
They got really hot at the right time.
Yes,
so,
they did.
So great. All right. Wish them all well.
Yaxel Lindenborg is the player I am most, I most want out of the transfer portal at this moment.
If we get him, I'll bring you a little package of Lindenborg chocolates. That'd be good. That can't be a domestic company. He's got to get an NIL deal with them somehow, some way.
Got to
put them together. Mason, we're not going to be watching the Final Four on Saturday because Alabama was out.
I don't even know if I can bring myself to hate watch it.
I'm not watching Auburn. No way.
It's just going to make me upset because they're going to win. It's going to suck. I don't actually think they're going to win.
I'm taking Florida, dude.
I am too, but I just know if things are going to continue to go the way they're going, that's going to be an Auburn winding up in the final, and it's going to be crushing for everyone. Doom and gloom over here still.
Well, I have something else for you to do on Saturday instead. Will you join me Saturday at Swan Gym in Jasper, Alabama for...
Now, this intrigues me.
A little rest. I heard that there's an open challenge that you wanted to answer is what I heard. You were texting me last night. Mm. We're about to be joined. Why don't I put up a little header right here and you can come on around so we can flip this thing up. There we go. Now I'm back. And Mason's reframing us. Perfect. Oh, I might want to hit that button. Try it again. Say hello to the... Hello. One more time.
Hello.
There we go. That's what I wanted. I wanted to see that light go up right there.
I learned from last time. I know how to do this now.
There we go. We're joined, and I'm very excited because I'm not going to... I will not watch Auburn. I will check the final score of Duke and Houston. I'm going up to Jasper, Alabama. On Saturday night, it's a Swan Gym because I want to see Bad Moon Rising. What, 2-3 weeks ago, we were here in Tuscaloosa. 3 weeks ago, we were in Tuscaloosa for Crimson Clash. We got to see Rhino compete right here in town. We've already talked to Justin the Misfit McKenzie for his great performance from Crimson Clash. I'm reading, I'm seeing that Justin the Misfit McKenzie will be back in action at Bad Moon Rising. So, to get you excited about Bad Moon Rising, get you going, join us at Swan Gym in Jasper, Alabama. We are so excited and honored to be joined by the new open weight champion, the Alpha, Alexander Lincoln. It took the entire roster to get him over as champion, it looked like. Goodness gracious, the Crimson Clash was so incredible. How are you, Lincoln? Thank you so much for joining us. And goodness gracious, how excited are you for Saturday?
I'm really excited for Saturday. I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me back. I thought this was really fun last time, and I really enjoyed getting to see Justin come on. We're excited for Saturday. We, you know, I think maybe you kind of picked up on the last at the last show, we had an absentee champion for a little while.
Coward.
Yeah, which was no good. Fortunately, he did finally show up. And so he's not the champion anymore, as you can see. And I felt like it was the right thing for our fans and for New Era to just put it out there, open challenge. You know, your championship will be defended regularly, no games. And so that's going to happen this Saturday at Swan Gym. And we've got a great card. I think Justin McKenzie is going to take on Irredeemable Aiden Andrews again. I think y'all have seen that once already. We're going to get the rematch of that. I think that was an excellent match. Kay Newton is going to take on the Prophet, Brother Azrael. I don't think you guys have seen Az.
We didn't see the Prophet, no.
And that's, you need to see that. he's an incredible competitor, and I think that's false count anywhere. And so, no telling where that one's going to end up. What else do we have? We've got my brother, Joe Wood, is taking on
Plumber Joe.
Yeah, the champion of champions, Damian Saratone. So we've got a great card, great show, looking for a strong follow-up to Crimson Clash. For me personally, it'll be tough to top Crimson Clash because that was just kind of the perfect ending to a perfect day. But I'm excited to kind of kick this reign off and take us to the next level.
So I sent some of the Facebook cards to Mason. I said, looks like this is kind of what we're working with on Saturday. Lincoln's going to open a challenge, basically whoever wants to jump in there. And he goes, I'm the open challenger. Mason, do you want to, I mean, I don't mean to put your business out there, but you ready to get in the ring on Saturday?
No, I don't think I am. No.
Oh, you're backing out.
More facetious, you know.
Well, I doubt you could get licensed by then, so that's the reason. I mean,
exactly.
So there's a process.
It's, right? It's red tape. You know, it's bureaucracy. It's all this.
They're protecting Lincoln. Right. I see. Yeah. Okay.
I am protecting myself. I would get demolished in that ring, especially by our friend the Alpha here. After seeing what he did at the Crimson Clash, I want nothing to do with that. No, that was quite the show. And you mentioned that it was like a really good show, you know, and I kind of wanted to ask you because we asked Justin McKenzie as well, just like comparatively to the shows in Jasper, like how was the crowd in Tuscaloosa? Was it kind of up to par? Was it something that was maybe better than elsewhere?
I would say that it was just my personal opinion. You know, we've had similar type crowds in Jasper. I would say it beat my expectations. I think we crossed, I know we had at least 225 in attendance. Man, I think awesome. We had more than that. And so I was really happy with it. And typically when you can do a second one, you get more just because, you know, people, you know, tell their friends, tell their relatives, whatever. So I'm hopeful that, you know, maybe people enjoyed the show and enjoyed what they saw and might be willing to make the trip to Jasper for something to do Saturday night. But yeah, it exceeded my expectations. I'd say that for sure. And it was perfect weather, perfect day. We, you know, like I said, we're going to come back to Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. We're searching for an indoor venue just to, you know, I was a nervous wreck the whole week because of the Saturday, you know, we had a really terrible storm system come through the whole state.
Big time.
And I just knew, I was like, everything's going to be ruined. Obviously the weather, it turned out perfect and turned out Tuscaloosa was spared some of the storm damage that happened across the state, but looking for an indoor venue, but we are coming back. That's actively happening right now.
Well, I had such a blast. I want to know, what was it like in there working with wrestling legend Rhino, and then to be able to raise the belt and bring your sons in there and kind of celebrate as a family, just kind of the encapsulation of maybe where you are as a career. The last time we had you on, you kind of talked about your journey thus far. What does a day like that with all those elements at play mean to you?
Well, first off, I give major props to Rhino. He's obviously a legend, a total professional, and it was just like, you know, something that when I started down this road, something like that was not even on the list. You know, it was just, you know, I just wanted to try to compete and see if I could do it. So to be in there with him was an honor. You know, and he's a unit, you know,
I mean, big man, that is an understatement. I'm sorry. That's an understatement.
And he is a absolute unit. He is, you know, and I'm not exactly sure of his age. I think he's
49.
So I thought he was approaching 50. And he's got, you know, he's got some miles on him. He's got some bumps. He's been in some of the craziest matches imaginable. But he, you know, I was impressed with how well he moves to be the size that he is. You know, his legs are, you know, tree trunks is like a common thing you say, but I don't even think that quite covers it. He's a unit. There was one part in there when I'm trying to fire up on him and break free, and I think, all right, you know, I hit the ropes and I'm coming at him with all I've got, and he gives me a close, I mean, and just, you know, de-cleated me one time, and it was like and he covers me, and it was, you know, I kicked out hard, but that was like all that I had left to get out of that, because it was brutal. And what a lot of, I think for me, you know, one of the things, the when Caden Ooten storms in there at the end and jumps on me, in some way he did me a little bit of a favor, I feel like, because, you know, I kind of got a little bit of a break, and I was able to kind of somewhat recover from Rhino totally knocking my head off. And so it kind of gave me that moment, you know, all the shenanigans that happened after that, kind of got to gather myself, I think. I kind of rambling, but to be able to get a pinfall over Rhino is just, you know, the pinnacle of my wrestling career. It so turned out that it was my son's birthday, which is 316 day, which is just, you know, I remember when he was born, the first thing my brother texted me was, your son was born on 316 day. And I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. And I just never would have imagined that we would get to have that moment in the ring after it and celebrate his birthday.
What?
Yep. It was a really special day.
It was a lot of fun to be there. It was about 5 minutes away from the house, so it was super, super convenient. I will encourage anybody, if you have any wrestling itch in you, it was come to Jasper, Alabama. Look, you're not going to be doing anything. You're going to be sitting around Saturday mad at Auburn. Don't do that. Don't do that. Save yourself that emotion. Experience some fun emotion at Swan Gym. I think I yelled for 2.5 hours the entire time. The next show was like, hello, guys. I'm just just because it was so much fun to, you know, I've been to WWE shows. You're yelling the same way. And, of course, you're yelling 15, 30, 50 rows down. Great. The Crimson Clad over here at the pavilion. I was like right face to face, and the wrestlers yelling right back at me. And I was like, "Oh, this is different, but it's fun." It was such a different and more raw experience. Not to use the pun to me, but I just loved it, Lincoln.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah, I've told anybody that'll listen, you know, you don't. You know, I told my wife this. We went to a Maroon 5 show last year, and I have no problem with Maroon 5. I know a lot of their songs, but it wouldn't have been, you know, in my top 10 of shows to go see. But she really loved it and wanted to go do it. And I said, okay, fine, let's go do it. But when I got there and the lights go down and the music hits, I'm like, okay, I had a great time. And I feel like a lot of times pro wrestling can be the same way. You know, it may not be something you think you might enjoy, but get there, get in the environment, be close to it. And, you know, I just have a hard time believing that you'll leave there not having had a good time. You know, I think that you can laugh, you can make fun of people, you can be sad, and you can feel a lot of different things, but you're going to come out of there with an experience one way or the other. And that's kind of our goal.
Yeah. I mean, I had, you know, going to the event in Tuscaloosa just a couple weeks ago, I that was the first any kind of wrestling event I had been to. I've never been to any kind of WWE event or anything like that. So that was my first taste of seeing wrestling live in person. You know, obviously I watched on TV and things, but it is like seeing it in person is so much different. You know, the bumps, you hear it, you feel those hit, those slams down onto the mat, you know. Just kind of, I guess, just walk us through, like, how do you not mentally prepare, but physically prepare as well to take, because those bumps, they seem and they sound and they, like, I feel it when you hit that floor.
And they're just coming from Rhino, too.
Golly. Yeah. How do you get ready for those?
I don't
Is
know
there that, any way you do?
I don't know that you do. I mean, I think for me, you know, like I said, I was 36 when I started training. And so I think a lot of guys, the younger guys, that there's a saying that you get kind of callous to it, just like you'd get callous on your hands. You know, you develop the same thing in the ring as it relates to bumps. I don't know if that's true or not. I think for me, it's more, you know, in the moment, it just is what it is. It's usually the next day that you're kind of feeling that. It's like, okay, that's tough. I know that a lot of times I've had road trips to wrestle and feeling great, feeling good, drive home. And then getting out of the car, you know, it's like, okay,
ooh,
this feels different. But, you know, I don't know. I do try to, I train, I lift, I work out, I do a lot of cross training, do CrossFit, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And I try to, on approach to show day, lay off a little bit and recover a little bit. I'm a big fan. I'm a big believer. And I don't know if it's in my head or not, but I use this thing. It's called the Shakti mat. And it's like an acupuncture mat. You lay down on it in the floor. And I've been doing it 5 or 6 times a week for a long time, for like 30. I can now do it for, I could lay on it as long as, you know, I needed to. I've been on it for an hour or longer. And I think that helps my back and the joints, you know, for me, maybe it's in my head. I don't know, but it's.
Hey, if it works, it works.
That's right. At least it makes me think that it works. I do see a chiropractor somewhat regular, you know, so I'm very aware of like, okay, this is putting wear and tear. But at the same time, to me, you know, I've said this before, there's no better feeling in the world than having some big bump in the ring and just hearing the crowd, feeling the people and being a part of that moment. I absolutely love it. So that's a little bit about what I do. I try to stretch and we got at the gym this inversion table, the thing that hangs you upside down. You know, we just got one of those a couple of months ago. And so I've been using that. I don't know. I like to believe that these things are offsetting the damage. I don't know that it's true or not, but I do. I feel great now, and I don't feel like, you know, I wouldn't have imagined I've done this into my 40s, but I feel really good and looking forward to more. I feel like I'm just getting started, honestly.
What might help offset the damage is what's over your shoulder as well.
Right.
What in the world? How's it feel walking around with open championship?
You know, it feels great. You know, this was when I started. Can't remember who the champion was at New
Irrelevant.
York. It doesn't matter, right? But you know, to be able to be a part of that and to be in the, you know, to be in the mix was really exciting for me. And to be able to win it in my hometown means a lot. And so I know that night, me and my brother and some of the other guys went to Baumhauer's, and I was like, you know what? I'm definitely carrying this in with me. And I did.
You should have. Perfect.
Absolutely.
That was great. It was awesome. I've kind of tamped it down a little bit. I don't think like my business partners and my, you know, everybody wants me all the time.
Sure.
But, you know, I was like, I don't know when I'm going to get to do this again. So it feels great. It's a great accomplishment. I just want to do more. You know, I want to have great title defenses. I want to wrestle the best opponents that we can get to come. I want to wrestle guys on our roster. I want to just do more. That's what I'm looking forward to. We're on the road to anniversary now, which will be in June, which is our WrestleMania is anniversary coming up. And so we're on the road there. And so we're looking to build to that now and to put on the best show that we can.
And that best show will be Saturday, Bad Moon Rising, April 5th, right there, Swan Gym in Jasper, Alabama. You can get tickets right here on the internet. You can call us if you want to. Oh, you got a phone line right there. It's here. Oh, I can't see it. 205-435-3403. Yep. 205-435-3403 for your tickets. Look, these are really affordable tickets. If you're looking for something to do on Saturday night with the family, it is a very, like, you don't have to go out to eat and spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. $25 ringside seats, $25. $15 general admission is what I'm seeing here. So, like, really, really, really affordable. I think I spent, when I walked in, I bought someone else's too, which is great. I bought some hot dogs. The concessions, Mason, were like nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I came out with like two things of nachos, a soda, some candy. It was like $7.
It was really, really great. I bought me some action figures. I do like to collect some action. So you had some vendors. It was great.
It was a great experience. And you can also get them on Eventbrite. If you go to the Eventbrite app and search New Era Wrestling, I think you can.
I think that's how I got mine for the
Crimson You can Clash. Purchase them there. So yeah, please do. You know,
Eventbrite or 205-435-3403. And then I bought them. I walked right up and cash out the lady at the door.
Yeah. And you can do that. That's an option as well. So
many, many ways to get in. No excuses for you to be in Swan Gym at Jasper, Alabama. Bad Moon Rising, 7:30 Saturday night. So you're hosting an open challenge. Who's the one person that you're like, I hope he doesn't come out of the curtain?
There's nobody that, you know, whoever comes out is fine with me. You know, it could be anybody.
They're all going down.
I'm locked in. I'm familiar with everybody on our roster. So if it's somebody that's not on our roster, you know, I don't know. I don't care.
Who might have the courage? I mean, I don't know. Look, Mason already said it. I'll be honest with our audience as well. I don't have the courage. Even if I were certified, no red tape for me. I don't. Who might have the courage to step in between the ropes?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that Cade Newton has some kind of beef with me. He ran in on that match, so it wouldn't surprise me to see him step in. The Misfit. I mean, why wouldn't would somebody shoot their shot? I don't know. You know, is an option.
Damien seems like he wanted to teach everybody something. You seem smart enough. You've already learned it. Do you need to go through Damien's wrestling classes, or he learned from you?
You know, Damien and I had a little deal last summer, and I think if I'm being fully transparent, I think I'm 1-2 against Damien. My first time I wrestled Damien, I was still very, very new, very green, and I don't make any excuses. You know, he got me. We wrestled again in May in Parrish, Alabama, and that one went my way. But then we, one of my favorite matches I've ever had, I came out on the losing end of, but Damien and I had a street fight in maybe it was July of 24, I think. And so there were chairs, kendo sticks. It was brutal. I'll send you that link to that match because it was one of my favorites. It didn't end exactly the way I wanted to, but it was one that really went, and he claims to be the champion of champions. So, you know, that's definitely on the table. Something that's been on my mind was in the Resolution Rumble, Dawson Kimbrell made his return. And for you guys that don't know, you know, Dawson had taken about a year and a half hiatus from wrestling. He started a family, and he has important things
families
that he had to deal with. But he showed back up at the Resolution Rumble and kind of put everybody on notice that he hadn't really missed a beat, and he's an excellent wrestler. So that's kind of been in the back of my mind. You know, he showed up then. Is he looking to show back up? Is that something that could happen? Aiden Andrews is an excellent performer. So there's a lot of guys that could step up that are all excellent talent. The prophet that I told you about, Brother Azrael, you'll see that guy. And you talk about a unit and a guy that can move with tremendous size and athleticism. He's really exciting to watch. And he and I have wrestled several times. So there's a lot of great wrestlers out there, whether you like them or not. You can't discount what they've accomplished and what they've done in the ring. Everybody that I just mentioned has been a champion somewhere at some time. So could be any of them.
Lincoln, what do you think about this basketball team? I know you were paying attention. I know you were. Disappointing you, but let's tie some strings together. What do you think about the basketball team?
So, you know, this is going to sound nuts, but me and my business partner, we have this thing where we're just always negative. I don't know why.
That's okay.
Yeah, I feel like maybe we're superstitious, but we found that, you know, sometimes the more negative we are, the better things seem to go, maybe. And that turned out to not really be true. Like what I was looking for against BYU, because I'm a big believer, and when I walked in, you guys were going through a lot of numbers. I'm a big believer in the numbers, okay? And what I wanted against BYU was like medium Mark Sears. And what we got was like the platinum version, Mark Sears.
Amen. You
know? And I was, it was super fun to watch, to score 115 points or whatever, and to, you know, all that. Because my friend texted me and he was like, I'm just worried that we've kind of, you know, blown it out in this game, you know. And I was like, well, let me just answer that for you. Don't be worried about that. That's what's happened. No one has ever made more three-pointers in an NCAA tournament game in the history of the NCAA tournament. That's exactly what's happened, you know. And so I was really concerned that going into Duke, you know, the law of averages comes into play. And not to mention, and not to take away anything from Duke. I mean,
sure,
they were sound.
Yeah.
You know, they were an excellent team. I mean, Cooper Flagg is supposed to be a senior in high school. He's like the Ryan Williams of college basketball, really. You know, he was 17 up until the end of the year.
Nuts.
He didn't really get that same pop that Williams did about that. But to me, that's almost harder than what Ryan Williams did. And maybe I'm wrong, and if I am, people can tell me, and that's fine. But you know, 5-on-5 college basketball, you know, Cooper Flagg is going 1-on-1 with these, you know what I'm saying? And so there's, to me, basketball is a little bit more individual than football can be sometimes. That's just personal opinion.
I agree, absolutely.
But right. So you know, you've got 17-year-old Cooper Flagg taking 22-year-old senior from wherever to the whole, you know, there's a big difference in a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, and a 22, 23-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he did is incredible. I was really discouraged during the BYU game because, you know, it just seemed like they were just making layups the whole game. And I know that was some of our strategy was to take away the three and do that. You know, if we wouldn't have been hitting the three like we were, I don't know how that game would have gone.
Sure.
It felt like Duke was able to do the same. They were just making layups the whole game. So I felt like, you know, we just had some defensive struggles. To me, making the Sweet 16 is on par with making the college football playoff. In some respect. And so there is a part that's like, you know, you certainly want to win it all. And it's really easy to become like arrogant Alabama sports fan because we flip that on for basketball pretty quick. You
sure.
know what I mean? You know, I mean, because it's like, you know, 2 years into Saban's tenure, you know, all of a sudden we're all experts on blocking technique and schemes and inside outside zone and read, you know, we know all this stuff and the same thing's happening with basketball. It's like, oh, you know, we need to be doing this, doing that. And you know, I'm really excited. I really enjoyed the season. A lot of fun stuff. I think personally, maybe this is a hot take, I don't know, but I've had this conversation with my friends. Is I feel like Mark Sears is the best Alabama basketball player of all time. And I don't know who, I think there's some other players that had really great NBA careers,
yeah.
Robert Ory. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about in context of Alabama basketball and what was accomplished, what he accomplished individually and what those teams did, you know, 2 Elite 8s, a Final Four. He was first team All-American twice, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that any one person has accomplished more. Maybe somebody will chime in, and maybe that's a hot take because he doesn't look like the great, you know what I mean? I mean, he doesn't have that look necessarily, but I think who's done more for Alabama basketball than him? And I don't know if there is anybody. Maybe there's a better individual player, but that's just long answer to your short question.
No, I think that's kinda,
I agree.
So we should be grateful for what Mark did. You know, I was known to get on Grant Nelson's case sometimes.
Hey,
you know, if I'm just
sometimes he needed it.
I'm being transparent, but one of the things that I noticed was I think in round two. Is it Robert Morris
played Robert Morris in the opening round?
St. Mary's. Yeah. It was St. Mary's. No, it was Robert Morris because he was injured and didn't play.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that when he came in the game, everything changed. And he only scored 4 points. You know, it wasn't but everything changed, you know, because he the intensity that he brought. So I'm happy to always admit when I'm wrong. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, that was really interesting for me to see that sample set. This is without and this is with, and this is the difference. And you know, because he's getting his hand on the ball. He's just doing a lot of things that impact the game.
Yes.
And so, Grant, I'm sorry, and I was wrong. So I'm happy to always admit when I'm wrong.
So. Oh, it's such a fun season. Such a fun, really, 2 years with Grant and Mark together.
Yep.
Looking forward. I think what everything you said was spot on. I'm going to have friends that are going to laugh because they think that I've become the most arrogant person in the world with basketball and laying your echoing. Oh, shoot.
Another thing is, I always felt like Bediako should still be
here. Yes. Yeah,
that was a killer.
Bediako's agent, I hate you so much.
Because I felt like when we played, when we played UConn in the Final Four, somebody like Bediako could have made it. I don't know that we would have won, could have made a difference. And then if you make it into the final against Purdue, someone like Bediako against Edie, you know, maybe I'm not saying he's better than Edie was, but I'm just saying having a legit seasoned, experienced 7-footer in this system for at this point would be 4 years, to me, could have made a difference.
A huge difference. I mean, all the complaining that we do, I mean, this is back to your point about drop coverage. But Bediako played it so well.
Yeah.
Bediako just had the feel for where the space was, of the balance of, oh, I'm still guarding the rim, but I'm out here kind of, you know, without Cliff. I just think Cliff struggled with giving that space and then still protecting the rim.
I agree. You know, the thing that I liked about Cliff that I didn't like about Bediako was that I felt like Bediako was always trying to lay the ball up, whereas Cliff is going to bring the thunder slam.
Yes, sir.
Whether you like it or not, and he missed a couple, right? But and I always wanted that from Bediako. I was like, I want the thunder slam. You know what I'm saying? I want you to bring it. And Cliff brought that, but I do agree with your comment. Again, here we've drifted into like, criticizing his footwork in man-to-man defense. Right. You know, like I know anything
we're
about
we're proving it. All the narratives right here.
Right. So.
Anyways. I'll spin us back to wrestling a bit. Let's talk a little WWE. I want to ask you. We had a just legendary segment with Gunter this past weekend or this past Monday. Yeah. I just want to really get your opinion on it. Get your opinion in the Uso versus Gunter feud. I think me and Joe both are firmly on the Gunter side of things.
There's
nothing you can do to make me believe that I know the underdog. All right, I'm sorry.
Right. No, I got it. I get it. I think my sons are huge Jey Uso fans. And I think that what he did to get over at the level he is incredible.
Yes.
And I'm super happy for him because I've learned now myself, you know, it really is about your connection to the audience much more than it is, you know, what kind of moves you can do. And you got to be able to deliver in the ring. But I think Jey has found a little niche. It's more than a little niche, you know, that works for him. That's great. So when he went over at the Rumble, it was a shock. I thought everybody, you know, thought Cena was going to go over, but it makes sense to me because, you know, that's who we're trying to elevate. Because from a business standpoint, if I'm just talking wrestling business, you know, I want to be able to have Cody Rhodes on a show selling out seats, and I want to be able to have Jey Uso on a show selling out seats. And I think, I'm not saying Jey's at that Cody level yet, but I think that's maybe their goal to have that top baby face because those guys are the ones that sell the shirts, the glasses, the hats, all that stuff, you know.
Those Jey Uso glasses at the last Raw show was at $45.
Yeah, and they're selling.
Yeah, you know? Selling them like
hotcakes. I've got two pair in my house. My kids have Yeet shirts, you know. So
yeah.
you got to have, you know, that is what sells tickets to me because that's what brings mom and dad and the two kids, the family of four that's going to buy tickets. Everybody's going to eat food. They're going to get merch, right? That's the real money, you know? So anyways, to your point about, I really felt like this last week took a big leap in that feud because we needed to get some emotional investment in the feud. And I think the segment with Jimmy and Jey in the handcuffs and all that was brutal. Hey, it was tough to watch.
It really was.
You know, and that
look at your brother.
Yeah. It was tough to watch. And Jimmy and Jey just, they deliver so hard on their facials and their emotion. And no one can do what Gunther does besides him because he just, to me, epitomizes just this bully, you know, this menace that you just hate. And so I'm with you that it's hard to imagine a world where he could beat Gunther. But, you know, I was at WrestleMania 40 when Sami Zayn pinned Gunther, and I saw a lot of Sami. I see a lot of Sami Zayn and Jey, you know, in that character and that emotion and feeding from the audience. And so I know there's been some disappointment, I think, with up until now with why is this what we're doing? But I think those guys are going to deliver. I don't know what the finish will be or what the ending will be, but I think they're going to deliver a big one. I think they're going to open night two. I think that'll be the opener for night two, in my opinion. And I think it'll deliver. I am a big fan of both of them, you know, and curious to see where Jimmy falls into all this, you know, because, man, you know, I was thinking about it. what a great, you know, it's got to be tough. You know, your brother's getting pushed to the moon, and your role in it is you're the sacrificial lamb. You know, so I do hope also that Jimmy gets his due down the road as a singles competitor, because I think he's been a part of all this, going back to, you know, the early bloodline stuff. You know, he's delivered in everything that he's been asked to do, been through a lot of injuries and a lot of
stuff. He's been doing pretty good work even outside of the story with the McIntyre and Priest just being that third, being that extra, right, just being the body to take the pin, really.
There's something to be said for being a trusted hand.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like sometimes in pro wrestling, you have to toe the company line. And I think he's done that. I think there's a lot of good. If you look at the guys that have done that, like The Miz, I've always thought is a great example. Like he's been at the top, he's been at the bottom, but he has towed the company line. And anytime there's something they need with a celebrity or with an interview or with a TV show, or The Miz delivers, and he'll be back. And I think Sheamus is a good example of that. Sheamus has been up and down, but you know, those guys that have been able to just take what they've been given and run with it and have the attitude of whatever I'm given, I'm going to make it good. They always seem to come back to the top. You know, they always do, versus the ones that, you know, you have people that if they don't have it their way, then you can sometimes see in their body language that they're not into it. So anyways, that's a rambling answer.
All right. So what would make it believable for me is at WrestleMania, Jey Uso has a move or three that we haven't seen him do before. That would be to tie a whole story in together. We've all been online. He only does super kicks. He only does the splash, you know, the bad spear, whatever. Great. Okay. And they've already started to lean into the online talk, especially 2 weeks ago, the slip at the, last week I tripped over the rail, you know, whatever. They leaned into it. Perfect. Keep leaning into it. You got three more weeks to kind of, off the scenes, behind the scenes, get a move or three that you haven't really pulled out. That would, every time he does a new move, the WrestleMania audience would lose their mind, I think.
I agree. I think that I would not be surprised if he goes for that tope dive again and nails it in some meaningful way in that match. You know, I don't know what that might look like. But Sammy did the same thing against Gunther in a way. Sammy did a top rope brain buster into the turnbuckle, like a turn. I don't know the technical name of it, but that was what put him on his heels. And that was something that Sammy used to do, like back on the indie days, that has not been seen maybe in a decade or so. So I agree with you. I'm not sure. You know, I've seen Jey do some other stuff that he doesn't do anymore. And so I'm excited to see what he might do. I think, you know, and going back to the comment you made about when he missed that dive, you know,
that's hard.
It is hard. And, you know, and people are like, oh my gosh, you know, he blew this. And I'm like, this guy has been performing at the highest level for 15 years. No one has, you know, I don't know. He's been 10, 8-time tag champ, and he's one, like, you know, so just stop that. You know what I mean? Sure. You know, if he missed something one night, you know, Chris Jericho talks about botches. He hates the word, and I probably shouldn't be saying much about it, but you know, if LeBron James airballs a three, is that a botch? Or did he just miss that one?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of the same theory to me. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you go out and you're performing live, I mean, that's the thing, is these guys don't get
sweat.
They don't get extra takes. You know what I'm saying? This is live in the moment, and it, you know, so things happen, but to me, it's that equivalent. You know, it's like, you know, you see a college player airball a free throw. It doesn't mean he's a bad college player. Sometimes you just have one of those moments, right? And that can happen to anybody. So I would lay off of that. This guy's been an elite performer for a long time.
All right, so we're talking about Bad Moon Rising in Jasper, Alabama on Saturday, April 5th. You guys need to be there. Swan Gym. Doors are opening at 7:30. You can get tickets from as low as $12, as expensive as $25. It's a very, very affordable night for you guys to be in Swan Gym in Jasper, Alabama. Call 205-435-3403 for your ticket information, or you can find the tickets on Eventbrite. Check out who is going to be brave enough to challenge the Alpha, Alexander Lincoln. I'll tell you this, it won't be me. It won't be Mason. So you will be at least treated to some quality wrestling, because if it were Mason or myself, it would be one clothesline, one Lincoln Law, and you're done.
Yeah, give me one smack on the chest. It's over. One chop. I'm out.
Hey, let me say, I forgot to mention this about our show, Crimson Clash, but what about our ring announcer?
Now, Tom is a friend.
Yeah,
we love Tom. Tom Canterbury. For those who were not at the show, Tom Canterbury, voice of Crimson Tide Sports Network's Alabama softball. His daughter did the PA announcing and did her best. Samantha, knocked it out of the park.
Crushed it.
Knocked it out of the park and handled your heel wrestlers with some edge of her own.
Yeah, Chloe Canterbury was, you know, that. It all came together kind of quick, and you know, I think she was trying to do something with a group of friends that was more of a broadcasting, like reporting on it role, and that just didn't work out. And she came back individual owner and said, "I just want to do something. Can I do anything?" And I thought, well, let's just, you know, I'll pitch this and see if this works. And you know, and so our promoter said, "Does she have any experience?" And I was like, "Well, no. I mean, she's Chloe's a senior in high school still." And I said, "No, she doesn't have any experience." I said, "But you know, her dad's the voice of Crimson Tide softball. I know that she's a big time wrestling fan. I'll see about experience." Well, the reality is, like, she's been performing on stage since she was, I don't know, very young. I don't know the exact age. You know, she sings, she's in plays, she does some sports journalism and broadcasting for her school. And I was like, "I just think this is going to be good." And I remember we're getting ready, and she's getting her cards ready to go out there. And I'm like, "This is what's going to happen. We're going to do this. We're going to do the national anthem." And she said, "Well, do I need to sing the national anthem?" And I was like, "Because we normally play it, you know, like the song, you know, play it through the speakers." And I was like, "Okay, sure. If you want." And man,
she crushed it. She crushed it.
Yes.
So I'll say this just to put her over. At the end of the show, there was one person that Rhino asked to come back and to speak with. And it was her.
Okay.
Because, and I'm not trying to steal her thunder or put words, but, you know, he gave her some really good career advice if that was something or world she wants to be in. But, you know, he just talked about her command, and she, you know, like in our match, it was a triple threat elimination that had some different rules, and she did such a good job of explaining the rules and doing all the, you know, but I just thought that was interesting that of all the things that went on, that was the person that he called back and wanted to speak to. So was really proud for her too. So, because it takes, the wrestling is one part, but you know, we have referees that work really hard. You know, you get in there and referee a match because you're up, you're down, you're moving around, it's a lot. But if you have a great ring announcer, it makes everything feel more important. You know, and you know, you think about like Michael Buffer back in the day, you know, like Samantha Irvin, like, in my opinion, she broke ring announcing for everybody because she was so good. So anyways, just wanted to put her over. I thought she did a great job.
She did do a wonderful job. And I'm looking for Tom said she wasn't going to make it this show, but maybe another one in the future.
We're doing Clash at the Keystone, which is a fundraiser show in Pelham.
Great.
On May 3rd. And I think she's going to be there for that.
Hey.
And then we'll be back in Jasper on May 10th. So we kind of got back to back.
So here we go. We're going April 5th, May 3rd, and May 10th. There's their next three.
Right. And there'll be info dropping on the May 3rd and the May 10th soon on the Facebook page.
Perfect. All we want you to do is think about Saturday, though. Saturday 7:30, Jasper, Alabama, Swan Gym, Bad Moon Rising, an open challenge for the open weight championship. I don't think anyone's going to – I'm going to be there, so we'll find out. I think Lincoln's going to stand in the ring, put the belt down, say, "Whoever wants it," and we're going to stand there for about 15 minutes, and all these yellow-bellied cowards, nobody's going to come out.
Maybe I'll get some of those nachos and stuff you were talking about.
Hey, they were pretty good.
Yeah.
Eat the nachos while he's waiting on somebody to come out, and nobody's going to come do it. That'd be
too scared.
Be perfect. Lincoln, great time having you on.
Thank y'all for having me. I enjoyed this. It's fun. Thanks for asking me about basketball. It's fun to talk about, too.
Shoot, anytime that we can connect wrestling and sport in my life, shoot, yeah. That's all I'm doing is watching old WrestleManias and killing Peacock or subscribe. It's personally supporting Peacock in my house.
I agree. I'm with you.
Follow the Alpha Alexander Lincoln. You can find him on the Facebook machines. You can find him really anywhere on the social medias. He's in some of my comments as well. We will tag him on this show. We'll tag New Era Wrestling on this show. We want to get your opinions on the transfer portal, 205-462-7340 for the voicemail line, extension 800. You call the number and it says, type your extension 800. You can leave us a voicemail just like Dax did today, just like Roy and Lake Gunnersville did the last two or three days. We appreciate everybody who calls in. You can call us right there. Find us at Joe Gaither 6. Find us at Bama Central. We'll get out of here for the day, going to talk to some Alabama football players. We'll have Katie Windham joining us tomorrow, and we'll get you ready for Bad Moon Rising on Saturday right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.